Hour number four of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a ginormous game for the Tennessee Vols tomorrow, traveling to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on? How we doing?
I'm doing good. Somewhere between Nashville and Atlanta, currently. It's going to be an interesting weekend.
There you go. Very nice. Already making his way down there. So, David, when you look at this matchup for Tennessee against Georgia, what do you think the Vols have to do in this game to hang around and ultimately have a chance to win it at the end?
Well, I think, you know, three things. I mean, every time they get an opportunity to score, they need to take advantage. You know, if you've got a 45-yard kick, you better make it. If you get in the red zone, you need to get seven. You need to not come away with three. It's going to be a pretty low-scoring game, I think. And don't give away points. But then the biggest thing is they can't let Georgia just control the line of scrimmage. When Georgia's on offense, like Tennessee will be able to move the ball a little bit. I think they got to protect Garantano. But Georgia is going to try to do the same things in Tennessee that they are, and I think that's a pretty big mismatch. Georgia's offensive line against Tennessee's defensive front, and if Georgia's getting 5-6 yards like they did against Auburn every time that they're carrying the ball, Tennessee just has no shot to win this game. So that's I think the biggest area of concern. If you can shore that up, put Georgia in some unfavorable positions, make Stetson Bennett make some throws on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, Tennessee will have a shot.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett had some. He was great against Auburn. He also, it's nice to be able to take shots on 2nd and 2, and play action. Mm-hmm. And he had favorable stuff all night against Auburn. And I think that's a great point. We talk so much about the other side in that matchup, which is going to be fascinating. But what about, I mean, maybe I'm overrating a redshirt freshman, but Elijah Simmons seems to me important in a game like this. Just a space eater in there. I know he appeared to hurt his ankle last week. And even, the linebacker next to Henry To'o in a game like this. Either those guys, emerge in your mind at this point, or maybe even fit better in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's got good size there. I mean, Jeremy Banks and Kaurus Crouch, nobody's ever called either of those guys small. And To'o, is who he is. I mean, an all-SEC caliber guy right now who might become an All-American Buckus Award caliber guy by the time he leaves Tennessee. So, yeah, I mean, that front, like I said, I think Simmons, how many snaps can Simmons give you, I think is key. But the rest of those guys, Aubrey Solomon, he's a lot better in run support than he is in the pass rush. What does Terrell Middleton give you? Those guys missed a ton of time in preseason camp, and they're still getting into game shape. I mean, Tennessee is still in a position, where, one, they're going to play a lot of guys on the defensive line, one, because there's not a lot of separation, and those guys do complement each other in a lot of ways, but two, with those guys and Solomon and Middleton, probably their two most talented guys, on that group, are still, getting into game shape. So we'll see some Bumpus, we'll see Simmons, we may see some Jaquan Blakely. I mean, they're going to play a bunch of guys, and those fresh legs, they've got to get a push. I mean, if Georgia is shoving Tennessee's defensive front 3 yards into the downfield every single snap, I mean, this is going to be a 31-10 shellacking situation for Tennessee if Georgia's controlled the entire game. I think Stetson Bennett is good enough to win this game. He's good enough to win a lot of games, but he's not Justin Fields. He's not going to beat you by himself. And so I think that's where, Tennessee, the more difficult he's got to have this throws that they make Stetson Bennett make, the better for Tennessee. And that starts on 1st and 2nd down, That was a big reason, why when Tennessee has struggled on 3rd down in the past, everybody wants to make a big deal out of 3rd down, but you create your own 3rd downs, and that's true on the defensive end as well as it is on the defensive end.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, David, obviously a lot of eyeballs in this game going to be on Cade Mays transferring from Georgia to Tennessee. Do you get the sense that there's any hard feelings from Kirby Smart regarding Cade Mays transferring to Tennessee?
I'll keep it short and sweet. Yes. I wouldn't say that's so much of a feeling as much as a fact, but, you know, it's, at the end of the day, it is a game. There's, you know, 80 guys playing, but I think, you know, Kirby Smart does not want to see Cade Mays, you know, celebrating a victory on Sanford Stadium's field, you know, on Saturday, I can tell you that.
Yeah, we talked. We had Seth Emerson on yesterday, of course, covers Georgia for The Athletic. So we talked about the piece you guys did, which is really good, kind of going through. You and Seth worked together on the Cade Mays saga. Very interesting stuff. Some feelings there. I suspect, you know, you flip this around and Kirby might do exactly what he thinks Jeremy Pruitt did. And I guess they're on a fun little group text anyway, making fun of Saban. So everything will be fine. But what about Cade Mays? I mean, you went through, you know, we were in the Neyland press box together Saturday. I wish I could be with you this week, but of course it's a different time. But I sat there and watched those guys all day, and I was really, really impressed. But you went through the film, another really good piece at theathletic.com, and went through all the running plays. So give us the quick takeaway from that and how you think it translates to this marquee matchup.
I think the biggest takeaway was that they were good, but they weren't probably as good as people thought they were. It wasn't like they were just absolutely demolishing Missouri on every single play. They had a bunch of plays where they did pretty well. But if you're absolutely just blowing everyone off the ball and creating these giant holes, you're going to have a lot more 20, 30-yard runs, especially with the caliber of backs that Tennessee has and Ty Chandler and Eric Gray. And Tennessee didn't have those. You know, Tennessee, they did a good job of, you know, they were winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. They were missing some blocks. I mean, they had – people want to make a big deal of, you know, no tackles for loss, but they had six plays go for no gain. Like, that's not very good. You know, what's the difference between no gain and minus 1 yard? It's, like, pretty much just a statistic. No gain is functionally the same concept. So they've got to get better there. I mean, they were really good, but – not quite as dominant as I think I came away from the game Saturday feeling like they were, as much as they kind of looked live. So there's a lot of room for improvement. And again, I'm not sure you're going to face two more, you know, vastly different fronts than what Missouri threw out there and what Georgia threw out there. I mean, Georgia's defense, I've said this week, but I think there's been so much talk about the Georgia quarterback spot that, oh, you know, they have Jamie Newman. They're bringing in Todd Monken, and then Jamie Newman opts out, and they're waiting on JT Daniels. They land JT Daniels, but now he's not cleared, and now they, you know, DeJuan Mathis doesn't work out. There's so much talk about this carousel at the quarterback spot that people forget that coming out of last year and coming into this year, everyone thought Georgia was just going to have a generational defense and win every game 14-7. And the defense somehow has been overlooked. I mean, this is one of the best defenses that we've seen in the SEC in probably recent years. I mean, ever since they gave up that touchdown to Arkansas early in that game, I went through and calculated. Their last 22 drives, they scored 9 points and allowed 9 points. I think they forced 5 turnovers, a safety, pick six, 13 punts, 3 field goals. Just there has not been much room to do anything. And Auburn's, you know, not a slouch on offense. I mean, Seth Williams is, you know, a better receiver than anyone Tennessee has on its roster, I would say. Bo Nix, you know, he's got his own issues, but he's, you know, he's functional. The fact that they just really locked down on Auburn was really impressive. And Tennessee's offense, their offensive line, they got the work cut out for them. The receivers, you know, they're going to see a lot of man from Georgia. They got to get open. They got to get open, and when they're open, they got to make some contested catches. You got to win some one-on-ones. I mean, this is going to be a mano-a-mano game. Georgia's not scared of Tennessee. Georgia is totally fine going, you know, man for man on Tennessee. Our guy's better than yours. Let's go play. And Tennessee's, you know, if they want to win this game, they got to prove them wrong quite a few times.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, last thing for you here. It seems like we talk about this every week, but Jarrett Garantano specifically, what do you need to see out of him this week in order for Tennessee to pull off the upset?
He doesn't need to be Superman. He doesn't need to throw for 400 yards. Tennessee's not going to ask him to throw the ball 35, 40 times, you know, unless they get behind and you kind of scrap your game plan a little bit. But when he gets in good situations, when guys are open, like we saw against South Carolina, he's got to put it on them. It's just that simple. Like, you can't be missing throws. Every opportunity that you have where there is room to breathe against Georgia's defense and you've got a guy, you know, you've got a back that's unaccounted for out of the backfield, and he's got 10 yards of real estate in front of him. You got to hit him in stride, hit that little that little flare screen. When you've got a guy with a, you know, coming off a slant and he gets some separation, you got to be able to put that, you know, in the numbers. When you got a deep ball and a bust, you got to hit that. Every crack that Georgia gives you, because they're not going to give you very many, you better smash through that. And if you don't, I mean, this is the kind of game where Tennessee's margin for error is pretty small. They can win this game, but they have to do those things in every single opportunity that they get, particularly as an offensive group. They've got to take advantage, and I think that starts with Garantano.
Okay, I'm going to make Robbie a liar here. I do have one more quick one for you.
Wow.
Dave, I'm sorry. Well, so I tweeted, you know, when you came on, like, we're going to talk about a game we know is going to happen. Balls at dogs. And then our friend Emily Proud's like, yeah, nice jinx. You know, severe weather's in the forecast, right? And, of course, then I look at my weather app, and it does look like we could be looking at some real weather tomorrow. Presuming the game happens, who would that favor? I guess it's probably the team that runs the ball best, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they both want to do the same thing. I mean, Georgia is just better at doing what Tennessee wants to do. I mean, they're going to mash each other. I think this is going to be, you know, a 40-point type of game. And these teams would love to slop together and play, you know, every snap between the hashes. There's going to be plenty of that. So I don't think it necessarily favors anyone. I guess maybe Georgia's because they want to do the same thing, and Georgia's better at it. So I guess maybe Georgia. But, yeah, the rain will be interesting. We'll see. Hopefully no storms. I'm planning on coming back Saturday night. I'd rather not, grab a hotel somewhere in Georgia.
Absolutely. David Ubben from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrod. Hey, David, great stuff, man. Be safe going down there, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll continue to break down this Tennessee game against Georgia. And take your reaction as well. Do the Vols have a chance to win this game in Athens? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Week 5 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is now open. Make your picks of the 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win. Starting every Thursday and before the college games begin on Saturday this week, the weekly winner will receive a Party Foul gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A big one tomorrow in Athens between Tennessee and Georgia. Joe, you put it yesterday, I think, what, 80-20 in terms of the chances for Tennessee? Which is, you know, given.
No, 20-80.
20-80, yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, I probably should have. Yeah. You didn't say 80%.
Yeah, let's not.
Tennessee was going to win. 20-80 in terms of.
Let's not make my takes too bad here.
Of Tennessee's chances.
I do enough of that myself.
To go down there and win. I look at Garantano, and I hear what David is saying there in terms of, like, he doesn't have to be Superman, but I do think it's going to take more than just Garantano hitting who's open. Like, I think it's going to have to take one of the best games of his career for Tennessee to win this game.
Yeah, and I think, well, some of that just depends on how that running game functions. I mean, if it's really good, then he should be able to be in favorable situations. He should be able to utilize play action and get some things out of it, and it may not be as difficult. But, yeah, realistically, again, my over-under, if the Vols can get to 120, 125 rushing yards in this game, to me that would be a big-time number to give you a chance. And, you know, that may not sound like a lot of yards to people, but against that defense, it is. Even if you love your offensive line and you got pros all over your offensive line, that would be a big number. You know, if Georgia's holding them to 30, 40 yards on the day, then you get to Garantano, you're going to have to make some ridiculous throws. I mean, you're going to have to also hope you get a coverage bust and that you hit when you get a coverage bust. Georgia plays so aggressively that you can take advantage of that, and at times you're going to have to throw the ball up and hope, you know, a Josh Palmer, Brandon Johnson just beats out a Tyson Campbell, and that can happen. You're going to probably have to take some chances. Don't want to take too many, but you're going to have to take some, I think, to have a chance.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, Georgia would win 8 out of 9 or maybe 9 out of 10 times, but that's why you got to play the game, because of that one.
Yeah, like I'd go 8 out of 10.
Reminds me of that speech in Miracle. Maybe
Kurt
may
Russell.
Win 9 times, or what did he say, 9 times out of 10? Or he may have said 99 times out of 100. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to go back and watch.
Great movie.
Oh, one of the best ever.
But, yeah, I would say 8 out of 10. I'd say if these teams played 10 times, you know, I got a neutral field, Georgia would win 8. Tennessee has got a couple in them. There's a couple scenarios where they win the game. And they're not, like, completely out of left field. Georgia fumbles it 6 times, right, and you get a kick return scenarios. You just have to play great, and you have to get their B game probably.
And how much of a factor is what Georgia is looking at next week? I mean, we've heard of trap games before. We've heard of overlooking opponents. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Georgia or not, but it is a fact. Alabama's coming in there, or they're going to Alabama the week after this. Do you have some players maybe looking ahead to that Alabama game and not giving Tennessee the proper respect, given how lopsided the games have been over the last few years between Tennessee and Georgia?
I think that might have been possible in the last couple of years, and I don't remember who they played after, but of course it didn't matter. I think with all this talk, Tennessee winning streak and the Cade Mays thing and the Pruitt Smart thing, and just the fact that there's a lot of focus on this game, it's a CBS game, I don't think that's a thing. I'd be really surprised. So I don't think it's going to be a catching by surprise thing. It's still Tennessee is still something that matters to Georgia, you know, players, coaches, fans. Even though Tennessee's been down, it's still a premier program and game. So I don't think that'll be a problem. I think what Tennessee has to hope is, one is just that the domination we saw last week is at least somewhat a comment on Auburn and not just on Georgia all of a sudden figuring everything out right now. But I think that game would not be a source of a false sense of security for Georgia, probably just a confidence builder, and that's not good for Tennessee. 2 weeks ago, remember, we were like, this could be perfect timing for the Vols. I don't think that nearly as much anymore.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in, says, I'd like to see Tennessee get the game to the fourth quarter and hope Georgia gets tight at that point. And then,
yeah,
to that point, if it's tight in the fourth quarter and it's a high-pressure situation, what can Stetson Bennett do for Georgia at that point? He's not really been in that situation yet. If Tennessee can put him in that situation, be interested to see how he responds to that.
Yeah, I mean, he looks very poised right now. And, again, he came in, this will be different a little bit. So he came in when things were awful against Arkansas, and it was just like, can we find a way to survive this game? And he made a few plays, and it was a nice little walk-on story. And it's like, okay, when does JT Daniels get out there? But then last week he looked great, but it was also just domination. And Georgia physically dominated that game so much with their offensive line, it really was an easy night for him. He still was impressive, but if you put him in a situation where now everybody's talking about Stetson Bennett, what a story, and he might be the guy, and now he's in a tight game in the fourth quarter, what does that do? We haven't seen that yet. So that is a good point. And, you know, to that point too, and to David Ubbin's point last segment, like Brent Samaglia, you got to hit your chances.
He struggled the first couple weeks.
I mean, it's 1 for 3. It's not a huge sample size, but at least one of those was real ugly. And you need him to give you every point you can scrape together in this game. Another thing we didn't talk about with David, Sean Schamberger in this game,
yeah,
in the slot, that's big to have him back. I really think he helps that whole secondary fit how it should fit. And he's just a really good player who fits perfectly at that position. It's an important position. It's an important position in every defense. It's an important position in this defense. And that's a boost for the Vols.
And having Bryce Thompson back healthy. I mean,
right,
he was kind of banged up a little bit last week, basically was playing on third downs. It sounds like he's going to be full go this week against Georgia, and you're going to need him because the secondary was supposed to be the strength of this defense. They've been okay. Like, they haven't been awful so far, but I think certainly some room for improvement after the first couple of weeks.
Right. I mean, Shai Smith really torched them at, yeah, times. He's great. And also, they were all kinds of messed up in week one. You got more of what you're supposed to look like last week. And, you know, the Missouri took advantage of them a few times too. I think Ubbin hit it. I'm more concerned on that side of the ball with, you can't let them just gas you for 6 and 7 yards on first down. You got to be stout. You got to set the edge. I do think Elijah Simmons is a guy who, in this matchup, if it's a sloppy day out there, he's a guy who can really help you in the run game, stopping the run game. And those guys really have to step up and play better than they've been playing.
When we come back, we will dive into some pigskin pick'ems. I tell you, it was a good week last week for Robbie Stanley. We'll update you where we are on the standings. Pick the games coming up this weekend. That's next. But first, I got a word from FanDuel. And hey, Tennessee, if you're not ready yet, you need to get ready. Sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's right, $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got the odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike those other guys, once you win, FanDuel will get you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, what you need to do, go download that FanDuel Sportsbook app for yourself and check out their fantastic app. Just be sure to sign up and register using promo code ROB. That's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. And when you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee to participate. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789. Here we are, the third edition of Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll give you a very quick standings update and then proceed to our picks for the week. Munson, you now have five points in the standings now. After a 2-3 record last week, you nailed your lock. You're up to 4-7 on the season.
Four and six, excuse me.
My math's bad. 4-6 on the season. 5 points for Marquise Munson. Joe Rex wrote. Started off 4-1, was rolling, had your lock, everything going, 5 points in the first week. I've got you at 8 points, a 7-3 record now.
Right.
Still leading the clubhouse.
And only 8 points, though.
Only eight.
We're coming back.
You're within grasp. You got out to an incredible lead. I think you had like a 4-point lead on everyone last week. I was horrible in week one. I went 1-4. I think I had like 1 point. It just wasn't going well. I respond in a big way last week. 4-1 record, nail the lock. 5-5 now on the season, up to 6 points. The competition has closed. We're all in there together, right there together. The gap, no longer quite as big.
You're the Gus Malzahn of Pigskin Pick'em.
I am.
So we're all 1-1 on our locks. 7-3, 5-5, 4-6. So all of us doing pretty well. I mean, if you against the spread, if you can be above 50%, that's good. So so far as a collective, we're not bad. And it's a competition right away.
So let's get things rolling here. And what we're going to do, we're going to kind of hold off on the Titans game right now and just wait for things to happen over the weekend.
And we got till Tuesday.
I would hate to pick the Titans game right now and then come back on Monday morning and it's been canceled over the weekend. So we will reevaluate the Titans pick on Monday.
I think that's what happened to me last week.
It is. It's what happened.
Pick the Patriots game and then all of a sudden, Cam Newton's not playing, and obviously that changes the factors.
It changes some things. So we're going to wait on the Titans game, but we start, as we always do, in college football here locally. Vanderbilt taking on South Carolina. South Carolina favored by 13.5. Joe, you're the leader in the clubhouse. You can start with this.
Yeah, that's a good line. It's a tough one. I think Vanderbilt is competitive here, and I think that I think they're going to have a chance in the fourth quarter to steal this one. And, of course, you can always have that late tack on touchdown, you know, that we see so often. But I'm going to take Vanderbilt and take those 13.5 points.
Munson?
Yeah, I agree. I think, and we talked about this throughout the season, of like what games is Vandy going to be competitive in and potentially win. I'm not saying they're going to win this game against South Carolina, but they will keep it competitive. So give me Vandy in the points. I think this is a potential that they could win, like one of those games on the schedule that they could possibly win, even though they're not going to. I don't think so. But I will take them not getting slaughtered like they did last week against LSU. So I'll go Vandy.
I have gone against Vanderbilt both times so far in this competition.
I've noticed.
1-1 in doing that. I do like that Vanderbilt's getting some weapons back offensively this week. I don't really trust South Carolina and Will Muschamp. Now, having said that, Shai Smith, a special player, and he's a guy that could break this game open by himself. But give me the Doors. I'll take the Doors and the points on that. 13.5 is a lot for a South Carolina team. I don't think it's very good. Give me Vanderbilt and the points in that one. So you can't say that I always pick against Vanderbilt because I didn't.
There you go.
Just left them on the board there. Let's move ahead to the Vols and Georgia. We talked about them all show long. Vols, 12.5-point underdogs heading into Athens between the hedges at Georgia. Munson, let's start with you. Who you got? The line, 12.5 for Georgia in that game.
After watching the Vols for two games, I've come to the realization that the Vols are really good this year. And, you know, and I think they can be competitive in this game. I think this is an easy pick for me because I'm going to pick the Vols. I think they stay competitive. They're not going to win the game. I do have Georgia winning the game, but I think the Vols can keep it competitive up until the fourth quarter, and then that's when they'll probably lose it because Garantano will do something that will cause Robbie to have a fit on Monday. So I'm going to go with that prediction there, and I'm going to go Vols with the points.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, I think this is I think this would be very disappointing if the Vols don't cover this. Now the money has been on the Vols here, by the way. This started at a 14-point line, which I thought was a little high, and it's gone down to 12.5. That means that people are betting on Tennessee, and I would too. I think the Vols will cover here, and it will be a competitive game well into the fourth quarter.
See, it's trying to figure out if you're Tennessee. Do you trust them in games like this? We talk about the winning streak. I think they're much more well-equipped now to handle a game like this than they probably otherwise would be. But they haven't seen a team like Georgia or anything really close to Georgia in a winning streak like this. If circumstances were normal, I would go Georgia here and the line. The weather, to me, is why I'm keeping this under. I'm keeping the Vols in the game. I think the weather's going to be bad. I think it's going to be hard for really anyone to execute offensively there. Probably going to be a sloppy game. Give me the Vols and the points. I don't have high confidence on it. Really, the weather is what's making this a decisive pick for me there.
So we're all homers, and we're all going to have the same scores, too.
So far. There's still some time.
We need to separate from each other now.
Left in the competition. And speaking of that, it's time to separate. Let's go for your college football pick of the week. Marquise, would you like to begin?
Yeah, it's a little difficult because, obviously, I want to pick LSU and Missouri. However, there's weather issues going on with that game. I'm still going to go with it when you look at Missouri. Missouri has scored. I see Joe's like, ah, that was going to be my game. I'm going to pick Missouri to – no, I'm going to pick LSU to cover that 14 points. I think when you look at the Missouri team, they've scored 19 against Alabama, and they scored 12 last week to Tennessee. When you look on the LSU offense, they've scored 40 in both of their games, even though one of them was a loss against Mississippi State. And last week against Vandy, obviously they scored 40 as well. So I'm going to go LSU. If that game were to happen, LSU will have that minus 14.
Okay. I like it.
What's our rule here?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean that game's my lock. So do I have to change it?
Well, that's my lock too.
Oh, wow.
What's the rule? Do I
don't know.
I mean, this is the randomness of you saying Munson, you talk first, or Rexford, you talk first.
I can't let you go first every time.
No. I know. I'm not saying it's a. I'm just saying that's
Joe,
decided by that randomness, right?
Joe, you can make it your lock. Go
ahead. Is that the rule going forward? I mean, we need to set that rule.
You can do it.
Because I know somebody at some point.
It's a sexy line. I mean, I would have.
Yeah. No, it is. Because at some point, somebody switched one, right, in the first 2 weeks. I don't remember who it was, but.
I don't either. But yeah, you can go with it. Go ahead. If it makes you feel better.
Well, there you go. Yeah, like I agree. The weather thing is interesting. Of course, it's been moved. I think LSU found something out here, and I don't like Missouri. And yeah, LSU is my lock. So you and I are just. We're just totally in lockstep here.
Yeah, pretty. But look, I also was going to go with Virginia Tech, North Carolina with the -5. And North Carolina at home as well. North Carolina's playing pretty well to start the season. I think they'll be one of those teams that will contend for a shot in the ACC along with Miami and obviously Clemson. So I was going to go with that game, but man, that 14 points, you're giving that to LSU. When watching this Missouri offense, they haven't even cracked 20 yet. Like, and LSU's cracked 40 twice. Come on, that's an easy one for me. So I had to go LSU.
I love how Joe just stepped in there and assumed I was going to him next. I was going to go next. What if my pick was LSU and Mizzou?
You can randomly go to you next too.
It wasn't. I'm going to take a little bit different route. I'm getting out of the SEC here. Clemson and Miami, an interesting game tomorrow night. The game of the week on ABC, Clemson favored by 14 right now at home against Miami. Miami number 7 in the country. They've looked awfully impressive. This is an interesting game to me for this reason. You look at Clemson's schedule, there's not a whole lot of opportunities on that schedule to make a statement for the rest of the country. I think this is one of those opportunities, and because of that, I think Clemson and Trevor Lawrence, they're going to take full advantage of it. I know 14 points is a lot, but look at that matchup the last few years. I think Clemson in the last 2 years has outscored Miami 96-3. Give me Clemson minus 14 against Miami, and Munson, make it my lock.
Guarantee.
I feel good about that.
I like it. You know, you make good points there. I do really – I like what I've seen in Miami, but, you know, Florida State's also brutal, so you got to almost forget that one. But that's a good call. I hope Miami – not just so you'll lose, but I hope Miami does make it somewhat of a watchable game Saturday night. But if they don't, no one should be shocked.
So we're going to switch gears now and go to the NFL, and I am going to start us off on this. My NFL pick of the week, I looked at the lines. I think there are a few intriguing matchups around the league this week. One that stands out to me, Atlanta at home against Carolina. They are 0-4. That offense at times can look really good. Carolina's a team the last couple of weeks, even without McCaffrey, they've been coming on. Atlanta is favored at home by 2. Atlanta's defense is absolutely atrocious. They can't stop anybody. Give me Carolina in that game. Not only do they cover the 2 points, but they will definitely, definitely win that game outright.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
No faith in
Atlanta is awful.
Atlanta, yeah, they're deep.
Well, at least
bad.
You guys got the Braves, Atlanta.
Bridgewater, Bridgewater is figuring it out a little bit.
Yeah, I feel really good about that one. So I guarantee they win. I can't make it my lock because I've already done that. But I guarantee Carolina wins that game.
You got locks all over the place.
I do. Joe, you're up next. Your NFL game of the week.
Yeah, that's a lot of choices, but I'm going to go to the team in the second most turmoil in the NFL right now after the Titans, the Houston Texans, who just fired their coach and GM. That's an interesting game, and some people would avoid that game just because who the heck knows how the Texans are going to respond. They're 0-4. Their season is circling the drain right now. But you know what? I think the Texans are going to come out and forcefully beat the Jaguars Sunday. Right now, it's Jaguars at Texans. Texans are minus 5.5. I like the Texans to win by 7-10 or more and really thump the Jaguars, who are starting to really resemble the, not quite the team we thought they'd be, but a very not very good team.
You think Romeo Crennel comes in there and gets the job done? They just hammer the Jags in week 1.
I think that there's a lot of great players on that team. There's some great players on that team. There's a lot of good players on that team, a lot of guys with pride, and I think that they are going to respond the way you'd hope they would respond and, you know, play for Romeo Crennel, and I think they're going to handle that easily. So give me the Texans minus 5.5.
Munson, your NFL game of the week, what do you got?
I had a couple in mind. Now, I originally was going to pick, and this is going to be my pick, but I'm going to also give you a secondary choice just in case, because obviously a Jets player just tested positive.
Yeah, I had that on the board too.
With COVID. So I'm going to go Cardinals minus the 8 against the Jets, a Joe Flacco debut. And so I'm going to go Cardinals. I think Cardinals have struggled in the last couple weeks. And they need a response game. And what better way to respond than by beating up on Joe Flacco and the Jets? So I will go Cardinals minus the 8 against the Jets. However, also, and this is just in case, if the game gets canceled, this will be the pick. Just in case,
okay.
I'm going to go Cowboys and Giants. Now, watching this Cowboys offense, they're really good. All they got to do is just get a couple stops. Just a couple to be able to cover that spread. So I'm going to go.
And what is that? 8 something, right?
Eight and a half. So I will go Cowboys with the 8.5. And if you're in a Survivors League, I'd probably pick that game because that's probably what I'm going to do.
Surely they can beat the Giants, right? I mean, good night. The Giants are awful. But yeah, that Dallas defense, I mean, it's historically bad.
They can't make Daniel Jones look good. They can't make that offense without Saquon Barkley.
Without Saquon Barkley, is Sterling Shepard even back?
It's
like that. I haven't been watching a whole lot of New York Giants football.
Yeah, and that's what
they
I mean.
Devontae Freeman.
The Cowboys can score points. Like if you have Amari Cooper in your fantasy league, he is going to eat a lot. He probably will get 200 yards, hopefully, for my fantasy team. And for me starting Keyshawn Vaughn, he gets to 200 yards and like three touchdowns. But just for, you know, me being selfish. But I think watching that Cowboys offense, they're really good. It's just that defense is really bad. And so I think they can put up points on them, and I think they can definitely win comfortably against the Giants.
Their deal actually looked like an NFL defense against the Giants.
There you have it, another edition of Pigskin Pick'ems. We'll see who comes out of this week victorious. Maybe we can make up some ground on Joe Rex Road.
It's already getting there.
For the second week.
Well, I don't know. I picked pretty much the same thing as Joe.
That's true.
There was one deviation y'all had. But, you know, we'll see. It's 1 week at a time, Munson. It's a long season. We've got a long way left to go. When we come back, we'll look ahead to Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. Also look ahead at college football matchups over the weekend. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC takes on Sporting Kansas City this Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Make sure you catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 6:15. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson. I just want to point out, made it through the whole week. Didn't call it morning drive one time.
That's extremely impressive. Extremely impressive.
That's a pat on the back for myself.
Yeah, no, you deserve it. I thought Monday there'd be about four or five of those. I had one muting mishap today, but that's it. I'm cutting down
those.
We're all getting better.
You're getting better.
And that song, Munson, great song by Fleetwood Mac, Dreams.
Apparently that's making the rounds right now on social media.
Discovering this song?
No, they're just like riding down a hill on like a skateboard with like, you know, grape juice in their hand. It's a TikTok thing.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And it made the song actually like number one on for like a while.
Yeah. Well, whatever it takes, everyone should love Fleetwood Mac, and especially the album Rumors, which I believe Dreams is on. And I have dreams of a week of doing this show in which every day at like around 7 o'clock we aren't reacting to test results.
Yes, please.
It will happen soon.
For the love of God. Can we wrap this up this weekend? Next week, let's come back and talk about some football.
Now, of course,
it would be great.
Now, to be clear, Monday morning is exactly what that will
be. Yeah, I know.
And Tuesday morning is what that will be. And if you get to that and they play the game, then I think you move on to, okay, it's now football season again in Nashville.
I'm very much looking forward to that day. Should be a lot of fun. Munson, is tonight the night that your beloved Los Angeles Lakers eliminate my Miami Heat and win the championship?
Well, I hope so.
Well, I know you hope so.
Because, I mean, for one, it was my called shot. Two, I need some sleep. And I need sleep, like, soon. So I want to be able to celebrate a Lakers championship without having to worry about, you know, coming in at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So I would love for them to win tonight for all my own selfish reasons of I just want to celebrate and just drink at the house in my Kobe jersey and just celebrate and just, you know. Then the girlfriend's not in at home, so I don't have nobody telling me that I gotta watch some stupid on TV. Like I can just focus on the game.
You can watch as long as you want.
I can watch post game and everything.
There is something to be said for the in terms of watching this and then not being tired the next day of this ending tonight. It's not that I don't want it to be, but
ease up a little bit.
There's something to be said. No, I'm with the Heat. That's one of my called shots. I think the Heat are going to get it done. I think the Heat has. That's a team with a lot of fight, and there is a little bit of a feeling out there from Munson and others that it's just sort of this is how it should be. This is how it's supposed to be. Tonight is the night.
Well, I'm not saying this is how it should be. I just think LeBron is, for one, tired of being in the bubble.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot to that.
This is why I can see a determined LeBron James going out there and just averaging like 30, 10, and 10, like I called. And Anthony Davis – he needs to have one of those games. Like game four was like one of those games. He had 22, which that was fine, but like a 30-something point Anthony Davis game has been in the running for the last two games, and I think this is the game they do it. And Lakers are undefeated in the playoffs when they wear those Kobe jerseys, those Black Mamba jerseys are 4-0, and LeBron in closeout games in the NBA Finals, he's 3-0. So I'm just throwing those statistics out there. Not that I come that. That's not why I have confidence. I'm just
like players are just tired of being in the bubble. And yep. I'm pretty sure LeBron is telling every teammate, I want to go home. Yeah. I want to go promote Space Jam 2.
I want to get out of here immediately.
Yeah, let me get out of here by let's get in this W. Caldwell Pope also has a big game as well.
Well, the thing that has to break right for the Heat is the three-point shot's got to fall in with a little bit more regularity. They're shooting the Heat and the Lakers roughly the same percentage from three, and that can't happen if you're the Heat.
Especially if Rondo is one of the guys shooting. Yeah, like most.
I mean, you've got Duncan Robinson, you've got Tyler Hero, you've got some guys that can shoot threes really well. And if you're shooting the same percentage as the Lakers from three, you don't have any chance.
No doubt. But also, yeah, and that's butts them, and it's also the Lakers. You know, those role players. If they hit a few, then that team is totally different.
Look, I am hoping that either Danny Green or Kuzma has a big game, because like they've been getting roasted on Twitter, especially Danny Green. Danny Green's awful. Like he plays like me, and I'm like all defense.
You rebound better than him.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Thank you for the compliment. I do rebound better than Danny Green, but no, I think the Lakers will win. They're not going to win like by 20 or by, you know, I think they'll win close, maybe 10, in between the 10-8 mark. But I think they can get the job done tonight. So, and I'm hoping for it because, like I said, I want to celebrate.
Well, if that happens, I'll be a good sport, and I'll send you a congratulatory text message.
Thank you.
Classy. Very classy.
Very classy. Classy in defeat.
I'll get it either today or Sunday. It's fine.
Wow. I may not send you a text message anymore. Nah. Joe, do your beloved Cleveland Browns, do they get the job done this week against Indy? I thought about taking
this.
That's
a great match.
It's even,
skin
pick 'em. Right?
It's dead even. It's a pick 'em on the line. I thought about taking it in pigskin pick 'em. Colts, Browns, interesting matchup. Both 3-1. Do your Browns get the job done at home against Indy?
Browns have fans. They have fans.
They've got some fans.
Yeah, they got a few. Yeah. That's right. They had a decent showing for that game. I don't know. I think that's a really telling game for both of those teams. I picked the Browns to go to the playoffs. I picked them both, but I'm not sure on the Colts right now.
I'm trying to figure out.
Still a pretty good win in Chicago, and we watched the Bears last night get that win.
I think I would pick the Colts. Who messes up
more?
Who messes up more? Phillip Rivers or Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm trying to figure out who I trust less, the Cleveland Browns as a whole or Phillip Rivers.
I don't know, right?
You got to go Baker Mayfield. Look, if Baker Mayfield, when he sticks to the game plan, which is running the football, and obviously you don't have Nick Chubb, but you still got Kareem Hunt, running the football has worked numbers for him. Not running the football has not worked well for Baker Mayfield. So if that happens, then I'll go Browns. But Phillip Rivers.
That's a tough D. That's a salty defense in India. Best defense in the. Hey, real quick, guys. Top three songs. I don't know if it's Spotify. This is on Twitter. Number one is Dreams by Fleetwood Mac.
Number two, Shot in the Dark by AC/DC.
Number three, Jump Van Halen, of course.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Eddie Van Halen. But that's an interesting
going back in time
2020 list.
It is. Real quickly, let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in, Robbie will pull the Stillman and say he was rooting for the Lakers the entire time. Now, I can guarantee you that's not going to happen. I will send you a congratulatory text message. I am not rooting for the Lakers.
Nah, it's not going to happen. But LeBron wins it tonight. Finals MVP, LeBron James.
Except for that Lakers fan who's...
That Lakers fan who said,
go Heat.
And I'm going to say this before we head out of here. If the Lakers win tonight, I don't want that guy or whoever who texts that celebrating tonight. You don't deserve to celebrate the 17th championship. You don't deserve it. Go Heat. Get out of here.
You've been waiting all show to lash back out.
Just lash back out.
What was the name?
There was no name.
Yeah.
Won't even put your name on it. Like the NFL.
It probably was Skip Bayless, more than likely.
Maybe. Did you see, like, the other day, like, Skip Bayless? We'll get out of here. But Skip Bayless was talking about it. Like, this winning a fourth title could be bad for LeBron's legacy. Like, okay. Get out of here. We're done.
It's incredible.
That's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Monday. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.